So when Sunetri asked me if I'd be willing to give this talk, well, what she actually asked was, would I be willing to give a talk on differences and similarities in friendship? And my immediate response was, oh God, no. which was interesting. But somehow I'm here and I agreed to it. And yeah, it's been a surprisingly hard talk to write, actually, for quite a short talk. So I want to start with a little bit of a digression about that, and about that initial sort of response that I had to it. So that sort of resistance, I recognised, I think, quite quickly came from self-doubt. So sort of, what do I know about friendship? Or, I'm not very good at being a good friend. So I just noticed that doubt in myself. And I want to put in a bit of a side here, because I've got a number of good friends in the room. I don't want you all really worried about me. but definitely that's part of my kind of makeup in this area. It's a kind of a doubt in myself, actually. And along with that goes I can experience a kind of doubt that other people really want to spend a lot of time with me as a friend and cultivate a friendship with me. And I mention this because I wonder if that or something similar may resonate for some of you. And it's a question I'd like to throw in. It's not really part of the theme, but just invite you to, in the groups if you want, just to consider what views you may have of yourself as a friend, and whether those are limiting, and whether they're accurate, whether you could bring a different perspective. And when I was able to actually acknowledge, when I'm able to actually acknowledge those kinds of doubts in myself, then I can also feel, when I actually allow myself to feel the painfulness of that kind of doubt, then I can also feel the other side of the picture, which is a tremendous richness of the friendships that I do have, and a real gratitude that goes with that. So that's been another rich vein for me in preparing this talk, just coming back to just gratitude to my friends. So I've been involved in Tri Ratna for about 20 years. And when I reflect back upon that period and how I've grown in that period, I think most of the ways in which I've broadened out as a person, the qualities I've developed, the opportunities I've had, the things that I value in my life, almost all of them have either entirely or predominantly come through friends. Or friendship has been a major influence in so much of how I've grown through my involvement in Tri Ratna. And that may be similar for you. And a significant part of that has been how I've developed through having a friendship with somebody who's different from me in some way, which, of course, all my friends are. We're all different from one another, aren't we? So I want to talk a little bit about that, just the enrichment and the growth that can come from friendship with somebody who's different. So one thread of this is, for me, has been the arts, actually. So when I first came along to Tri Ratna, I didn't actually have very much appreciation of or interest in the arts. A little bit of literature and maybe a touch of music, but very little awareness of visual art. And I remember Lalit Ratna, who was the person who introduced me to the Dharma and really my first friend in Tri Ratna, taking me to Southampton City Art Gallery and taking me to see a painting of St. Catherine and the Philosophers. I think probably an early Renaissance painting. And I would have just walked straight past it with no interest. If I'd even got in the gallery at all, I would not have taken any interest in that painting. But he just really brought it to life for me, just pointing out, sort of getting me to question and look at what was in this painting. The fact, for example, that St. Catherine has got a book and a sword, might ring bells, and she's broken the wheel. Anyway, I'm digressing a bit. It's a great painting if you're ever in Southampton. So I've really developed an interest in, an interest in painting as a result of having friends like him who've been able to actually bring something more alive for me in that area. So to give you a more recent example of a friend sort of bringing alive sort of latent possibilities in me. So I've had a long-standing interest in environmental awareness and climate change and that kind of issue. But it's something that's been something I've engaged with in a pretty quiet way, as perhaps many of us do, sort of reading about it, talking about it, perhaps often not much more than that. And obviously I've heard about people doing protests and demonstrations and that kind of thing, but I've tended to view myself as not the kind of person who does that sort of thing. I think quite strong middle class conditioning, and it sort of feels a little bit dangerous doing something like that. However, in my chapter, amongst very fine men, there is Yoga Ratna, who, as many of you know, has had a strong interest in this area for a long time. And he's been involved with a protest group called BP or Not BP, who campaign against oil sponsorship of the arts. And so I decided to go along to one of their protests in September at the British Museum. He was doing it, so I thought maybe it was all right for me to do it. it was almost something like that. And it had quite a significant effect on me, actually feeling like I was stepping outside my usual conditioning and doing something which I wasn't in a way supposed to do. And actually I realised that I care about this issue more than perhaps I previously acknowledged. So simply acting in that way brought something more alive for me. It's kind of broadened my range of who I am as a person and how I can engage with and communicate the Dharma. So yeah, those examples might sound a bit like just sort of broadening out of my interests, but they're more than that actually. They're to do with allowing my being to unfold more. Yeah, allowing me to become more as a person and as a Dharma practitioner. Okay, so what about something a little bit deeper, sort of differences in personality? So I want to talk a little bit about a particular friendship, and the friendship I've chosen to talk about is with Sugaba, who many of you will know because he was in Cambridge from 2006 to 2012. And I count Sugaba as one of my closest friends, but he's somebody who, if it weren't for our common values and vision, I can't imagine that I would ever become friends with, or maybe not even ever had a real sort of conversation with. We're just very, very different people on a surface level. So Sugaba comes from a Catholic family in rural Ireland. He left school at 16, and his first job, if I remember correctly, was driving a digger on, I think it was a road construction site. He's into death metal. Don't really know what that is. I've heard a little bit of it, but and he loves really strong coffee. So I come from quite an agnostic family, very much in southern England, very middle class. My first job was as a postdoctoral research assistant, and if I listen to music, it's usually classical, and I'm not very good with caffeine. So it's not very promising as a kind of a starting point for a friendship in a way. But we're similar age, and we met back in around 2000, before either of us was ordained, actually. He joined the order before I did, and actually I was really grateful, and I am really grateful to him for the interest he showed me when I was a mitra. I was actually very skillful in helping me see through aspects of myself. And he encouraged me in my desire to communicate the Dharma, actually. So as you might guess from what I've said, Tsongkhapa is much more sort of down-to-earth sort of person than I am. He's very straightforward by nature. He's very straightforward about who he is, very open about who he is. And my tendency is to be pretty reserved by nature. And Tsongkhapa is one of those people who has really helped me become more open, trusting, able to communicate myself as a person. Able to step away from the intellectual a bit more, actually, and not feel that I need to always communicate the Dharma in intellectual terms, because that's a strong conditioning for me. And it's not necessarily that he's really sort of tackled me head on about this sort of thing. It's he may or may not have done, I don't really remember. It's more that just by being around him, those other sides of me are drawn out more. So just to give another very simple example, sort of emotionality. So I was just thinking of a number of friends I have in this Sangha. For example, Anandavajra, Dom, Tejasiddhi, who are more emotional than I am, and more free-flowing in their expression of that, at least in a certain kind of way. And that draws that side out of me more. Which I find really satisfying, and it's something that I really want to cultivate. So yeah, it's very, very enriching. Just to be clear, I'm not suggesting that we all go off and become just like all our friends in every respect. That's probably not going to work. We don't need to develop all of our friends' qualities. I'm not, for example, likely to ever to become a very gregarious person, and I don't need to, actually. That's not stopping me from fully becoming myself and communicating the Dharma, living a Dharma life as fully as I'm able to. Okay, so there's a few things about difference and just some examples of how I've grown and developed through being with friends who are different in one way or another. So what about similarity, just briefly? So I wanted to just sort of change gear a bit here, actually, and just to conclude, talk about the sort of similarity which is at the heart of our friendships in the Sangha, which Dharmota has already talked about. So I've got the privilege of being part of the Buddhism 2 team on a Monday night, which is a really exciting place to be. And I have the experience regularly in that context, which I'm sure you'll all recognise from that or another context, where I'm talking It might be in a class, or it might be in a tea break. But I'm talking to somebody about something that's quite close to the sort of the core of my being, if you like. I'm talking maybe about why I'm practicing the Dharma, about, yeah, really who I am on quite a deep level. And I can see that the person I'm talking to, they get it. And I don't just mean that they get the idea, I mean that they get what is behind the idea, the actual, the actual connection to the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. And I can see that they can see it. They can see that I can see that they can see it. And there's a resonance. And as many of you know, Bante calls this a vital mutual responsiveness, which is a fascinating and lovely phrase, a vital mutual responsiveness. And sometimes, as I've just illustrated, that really comes alive and is very vivid and explicit. We can really see it very clearly. But it's actually there, either potentially or actually, all the time when we're with our friends in the Sangha, or simply just in the Sangha. It's there. And I think we can forget about it. We can kind of take it for granted. It's not necessarily always that conscious for us. So I haven't got a particularly neat ending for this talk, but I think my ending is I'd like to invite you to see if you can be a bit more conscious of that element, that resonance that we all have between and amongst us, which is what draws us together, draws us to be here today. Thank you.